All right, hey Hope Grown Faith. I'm so excited to have with me today another of our Mom Monday mentors. So today I have with me Kristen Vanderlip, and for some reason my screen isn't showing both of us. So most of the time I'm just gonna show you her, and you're just seeing me right now. I'm kind of red-nosed and snotty, so you don't need to see me too much anyway. Kristen is much nicer looking. So
thank you.
So now I'm gonna show you guys Kristen. Kristen is awesome. She's part of my writers group. She's got some really great resources out and coming out, so she'll tell you a little bit about them after as well. But first of all, there you are. Now you can see her.
Hello.
All right, Kristen, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me, Christy. I am Kristen, as Christy said, and I'm a member of Hope Writers, which is the writer group that Christy's a part of. And I am a former teacher turned stay-at-home mom turned aspiring writer and author, and I will share about that at the end also. But I am just glad to be considered one of your mentor mom guests that you're having, and hope I can share some nuggets with y'all.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your family too.
Yes, so we have a little bit of maybe a unique situation for some of you. We are a military family. So my husband has been in the Army pretty much our entire marriage, which has been over a decade now. He is an officer, and we together have two little boys, Isaac and Isaiah, and they are ages 5 and 8. And so military life for us has been moving every 1 to 2 years, which is a little bit high for military families even. We have been at 6 different duty stations. Some of them, though, we keep coming back to. We're currently at Fort Campbell, and that seems to be where the Army always brings us back to. But there's been 6 PCS moves with the Army. There's been 8 different houses, all in about 10-year period. So at one point, my kids would ask us, which house are we going to spend Christmas at this year, Mommy? What's our new house going to be? Like, for them growing up, it was Christmas was in a new house every year, which just, for me, blows my mind, because I grew up in the same house for 20 years until I got married. So this is not an experience that I'm still new to this, even though I'm 10 years in, and we're figuring it out as we go along. So.
Interesting. So how does that like affect your life, your faith, just the constant transitioning, especially if it wasn't something that you grew up with?
Yeah, it has definitely been a huge catalyst for growth in faith, especially as I'm sure you can imagine. And part of our story, which I didn't share yet, does involve the loss of a child. Hmm. So shortly after my husband and I got married, we were expecting our first child at the same time that we had our first move with the Army. And she ended up being born with trisomy 18, which doctors consider incompatible with life, and it's a fatal disorder. And she ended up passing away when she was a month old. And so we were kind of thrust into this new life as a military family, this new life of parenthood, then this season of grief, and it all kind of coming together. And as we've continued to move and we've continued to have kids, and I tell you, like, I'm like, God, at some point I'm ready to have all these growth opportunities to slow down. But no, like, I joke, it has been taking me out of my comfort zone. Like, that is the one thing I will say, because it is requiring me to take bold steps of faith and trust and surrender every step of the way. And I think if we hadn't had this lifestyle, I don't know if my faith life would be as deep and bold and vibrant as it is now.
Interesting. So tell me a little bit more about that. So what are some maybe specific impacts it's had on your faith, or how do you, I don't know, tell us a little bit about your faith and your journey with God.
Sure. So real quick, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and for me, that childhood experience was very much based in kind of rituals and traditions. And I believed in God, but I did not have any kind of understanding of a relationship with God or what it meant to recognize Jesus as the light of the world or to walk in his light. I didn't really learn that until I went into high school, and my parents had divorced and we had stopped going to Catholic church. And I was still kind of wanting a church home, but didn't know what that looked like as a teenager. And I joke because I went to church for a boy that I liked, and I ended up falling in love with Jesus. And I fell in love with the boy, and I married him, and he's my husband now.
Oh, wow.
But I did, like, I just had, like, when I heard the gospel and encountered Jesus in that way, my faith, I was just so excited to live with God and to know what that was like. And as my life has played out with kind of these hardships and these trials and these growth opportunities, I really had to release a lot of control, because I can't control where the army's going to send us. And I think all of us, whether you're military or not, like, we all just have this tendency that we want to hold on to things. We want to control things. We want to know things. And in a lot of ways, this has just been forced out of my hand. And, you know, I certainly could rebel and resist it. And I'm sure I have along the way. And I have grumbled and complained and, you know, asked God why a lot and done those things. It hasn't been an easy journey. But it's one where it's, I'm going to trust God's provision. You know, I'm going to trust the journey that I might not be able to see. I'm going to trust that even though our family separated at times, and even though, you know, all these things kind of come up against us, I am really just going to lean in and trust God. And I'm going to really focus on this present moment of, you know, what is he asking of me and my family right here and right now? And what does that look like, and what can we do?
So that's really important faith growth opportunity. Actually, I think a lot of times our fear holds us back, but you're just having to step into that every time your things change and move. And can you hear my kids talking? Sorry.
I cannot hear your kids
okay,
talking.
Okay, good. No. Then my microphone is doing its job and it's only picking up my voice. Good. Cause they're
that's
not
awesome.
Very quiet. Anyway. Yeah. That's really important, right? To be able to move past that fear. Cause that's how we get growth. How has this impacted your family, your kids, your faith as a family?
I think it has been stressful for sure, just as it would on anybody. I think in some ways for them, it's been relatively easy because they've been younger for most of it, and this is kind of their normal. But what we're finding out as our kids are growing and getting older, and they're growing in their empathy and their understanding and their awareness of the world around them, that, you know, in this last season, my husband's deployment, it was a really, really difficult one. And our kids are pretty much there ready to ask questions. They want to know why. They're articulating their concerns, their fears, their worries. And we've seen it truly have, you know, we've seen the negative effects of it on them, if you want to classify them as negative. But what it provides me and my husband are just countless opportunities to continually shepherd our kids back to God. And so if they're at night, you know, crying in bed, say they miss daddy, or they're worried about daddy, or, you know, something like that, then that is my opportunity to say, well, Jesus says that we can take our worries and our cares to him, and he's going to listen to us. And it's teachable, prayerful moments of just like, I'm showing them that this is the hard thing, and that they have Jesus who is ready to walk their, you know, walk through it with them, and that they're not alone in this. And so it's really been a journey of me trying to show them this great shepherd we have in Jesus, and trying to shepherd and disciple them towards him. Cause I have moments where it's like, I want to kind of go to that dark place with them. Mm-hmm. And it's like that can be easy to get swept up in all the emotions and fears and anxieties, and just having to just recognize, I don't need to comfort and shield them and protect them and try to become their God for them. I can walk next to them, you know, and for a long time, like I had that, like I wanted that control. I wanted to do that for them. And it's been God just gently nudging me too, of like, you know, I'm here with both of you. Like, I'm going to walk through these things, you know, with your kids and with you, and we're going to do this together. And so, I don't know necessarily how it's affecting my kids' faith at the moment. You know, it's definitely opportunities to talk about our faith in our house. And I think that's one of my goals as a parent, just in parenting and in spiritual parenting, is just to have these open conversations with my kids, to really be listening to what they're bringing to me.
Yeah. And you know what I love about that is that we often really just want to protect our kids from all those things, but those are the things that do create those learning opportunities, just like they do for ourselves in our lives. They do for our kids too. Like, we just moved. And so for the longest
right.
time, my middle son was like, I don't have anything I need to ask God for. Like, I don't need his help, really.
Right.
He was living his like happy little middle class life.
Right. Right.
And then he started panicking about the moving. And I'm like, oh, finally we have something to pray about.
I know, right?
And we finally need God. Oh, my goodness. Like, that,
right.
that's such a good space to be in. Not that we want our kids to live in
right.
fear, but it is also a good place to recognize our need for God, finally.
Absolutely, so, yes.
Which brings me to my next question. So when you're doing all these, or having all these moves and have all this stuff up in the air in your lives, like your kids don't have a consistent church that they've been to all their lives. Are there things that you do in your home that maybe are little habits that you bring from home to home with you, or think like spiritual training kind of things that you just make a priority every week or day mm-hmm. or regularly anyway?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, like, interestingly enough, like I said, like, we keep coming back to Fort Campbell. And so where we are now, the church that we're in, is actually the one that they've been to kind of in different seasons and years of their life. So it's like we'd be where we are, we'd move away, we'd come back. And so it's, where we are now feels very much like our home, and we keep coming back to our church home. But you're right, when we move, we're somewhere new, we're at a new church. And again, they've been really young during this season, but it is definitely, we have found in keeping traditions of any kind, whether it's spiritual or just holidays, birthdays, just different things we do in the fall, like pumpkin picking, it's finding ways to do that in whatever house, whatever we're church or whatever church that we're going to. And you know, this is cliche and this is simple and this is basic, but it's, we go to church every Sunday. It might be a new church, might be a church you're used to. Like this Sunday, we're going to go to church together as a family. And we do the routine things of just, you know, prayer around meals and prayer at bedtime. We do, the She Reads Truth has Kids Read Truth.
Cool.
And so, I have a lot of their resources that I will use and bring out during holidays, like Easter. They have a little card set that we use every Easter, and during Advent, we have an Advent thing that we do with them. And so letting those things that can tangibly move with us and that yes. we can pick out those resources and pull out, and they are familiar with them. And my son loves their Easter cards that they have. It's on the promises of God in the book of Isaiah. And he will ask for them throughout the year, like, can I see those? Can I play with those? And so like, even in just like the things that we have, like, I don't want to be too materialistic, but there's things that do move with us and can come with us wherever we go.
Yep.
And so it's nice to always have those as like, I know where that is. I know what that is. And it is kind of like a grounding, centering point for them. I don't know if that answers your question at all.
Oh, it totally does. I mean, it's to okay. say like, if you're doing like Advent candles at Advent, it doesn't matter what house you're in or what church you're going
right.
to. You still have, it's the same Advent candle set or your
right.
Isaiah cards or
right.
whatever that happens to be. That's really cool.
Right.
So with your husband being away a lot, how does kind of the balance of faith formation happen? I mean, you mentioned you're kind of both shepherding them, so that's a priority for both of you, but then he's gone for big chunks of time. So how does that look in your family?
Right. It feels a lot of times like it falls primarily on my shoulders, especially in the seasons where he has just been gone for long periods of time. Luckily, we're in a season where it's kind of shorter trips, but more frequently, but we're kind of seeing him more in between. But when my husband is home, he is really good at kind of building into them through prayer. So he has kind of taken on the role of like the, I don't want to say prayer leader. I feel like I'm losing words here, but he is like the leader of prayer in our home over meals and at bedtime with our kids. And that is kind of one of those areas that he really connects with them. And I think this also kind of goes into our personality differences a little bit. And so where I come in when he's here too is I will pray with the boys also, but he takes kind of that leadership role. And I move more towards like the bookish side of things because I'm a writer and I like books.
Yeah.
And so I'm the one who will read them the biblical Bible stories, you know, like they love your books, like Quince Promise Rock and Quince. Yeah. They're just so good. We love those. And so I love to just bring in books with them and to try to find time to do devotionals with them. And I'm like the teacher reader sort that goes, in that way. And when my husband steps away, I do feel like I have to step into his shoes and kind of fill all of the roles, but in some ways I've been having to step back from that also. To again, just trying to be present of what is their spiritual need in front of me? What can I be doing? Because I can't do it all and be it all to them. And God has consistently told me, like, you're not supposed to be it all. Like, right. I am. Mm-hmm. And in those seasons when they just really need a dad, like, again, my boys are younger, but I have good military wife friends and that have older kids, and the older they get, they really need their dad. And it's just, it's hard. And I just have to remember they have a father in heaven who is always with them. And I can point that longing for a father. I can reassure them that their daddy does love them. And when you're missing daddy, like, that's okay. God can comfort you, but he is your dad. Like, he is always with you. So it's been an interesting journey of just trying to figure out how we can shepherd our kids well when we're together, and then what that looks like when we're apart. And we by no means have it figured out. We have not arrived.
What?
Like we are continually learning. But I think the greatest thing I've learned over the years is just that whether my husband's home or not, that God has equipped us in different ways, you know, with different, I know you talk about the, is it sacred pathways?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like there's just different ways we relate to God, and there's different talents that he gives us, and figuring out how that plays into parenting has been very insightful.
Yeah, that's true. We are different. I love that you're talking about, yeah, just the different ways that we connect with God and the different ways that we connect with our kids too, and the different strengths that we have, because I think often, I don't know, the idea that I had in mind when I was a young adult was that dad was going to be like, okay, we're going to do family devotions now. And he was just going to lead the whole thing, and he was going to play guitar. And my husband does not play guitar. Like, and he doesn't lead any of that kind of stuff, but he leads in different ways, right? Like he's
exactly.
Just a man of integrity. And so I love that you're talking about the different ways that God's gifted us, and we still have to be true to our own calling as well. And sharing that with our kids. So do you have any advice for, let's say a mom is really kind of struggling to share God with her kids? She just doesn't really know where to start, or she's just kind of stuck. Do you have any advice just that comes kind of out of your own life?
I feel like I've been there. And in some ways I still, excuse me, feel like I am there some days. You know, I think as we parent, we find ourselves modeling a lot of what our parents did with us. And while I was raised in a Christian home and my mom really wanted me to know God, I just was just raised in a home where it was very different than what I imagine shepherding my child into a relationship with Jesus went. And so in my home as a child, we didn't regularly pray. We didn't regularly talk about Jesus. We just really didn't have those conversations. And so I'm just trying to figure out in a lot of ways, just some new ways how to navigate this myself.
Yep.
And I just think that there's a lot of pressure that we can feel that we have to get like all of the words right and do all of the things right so that our child will one day have salvation in Jesus and have that relationship. And it's like, okay, again, like I have to step back, and I don't know if it's my personality or just me, but like I need to step back and relax and trust and surrender that God is pursuing my child. And I just want to, for the mom's ministry I'm a part of, we're doing this theme called The Light So Lovely. And like, I just want to be that light to my child. And I feel like I fail a lot. So if you feel like there's this preconceived idea or expectation you have in your head of what this should look like, or you don't even know, like, that's okay. Like, just release it. And I don't want to sound repetitive, but just like, what in the present moment are you kind of comfortable with? Like, for me, again, like, I would start with books. Like, if I didn't know where to start or I was stuck, I would say, who else is available to kind of start these conversations with my kid where it feels like I'm not like the one in control. Like, here's this book I can put in front of them that has somebody else's words, and that they are acting as a guide. And then I can also kind of come along as a guide. Mm-hmm. And I really look for just opportunities to have conversations with them. And a lot of times too, if we just kind of let life happen and we are living out our own faith in Jesus, kids are going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And so I remember for a long time when I was a mom, when my kids are really little, I had this mentality that I had to study scripture in isolation, in the quiet, where my kids could never find me, and I just needed to meditate, and like, yes. It was so unrealistic, right?
Yeah.
And God had this moment with me where he was like, bring that out into the open so that they can see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, I wanted to be in solitude with him, and like, that's not a bad thing. Like, I get those moments now, but yeah. There's also a time when you're just living out your faith in front of your kids. What are you reading, mommy? What are you talking about, mommy? Yeah. And just trying to have it at their level. And I will tell you, sometimes that's even hard for me. And my 5-year-old, he asks amazing theological questions. And I'm like, there is something inside of you, kid, that I hope I can shepherd really well. And mm-hmm. And sometimes I just have to be humble and say, that is a really good question. And maybe we can try to look to see what the Bible says about that together. Or maybe we can talk to somebody about that together. And, you know, bring in community around you. You know, who at church is working with your kids? Who do you know in your community, your neighbors, your friends, that you can just kind of live life with and just look for these opportunities to connect and converse? And I think that just letting go of those expectations and feeling like I had to control it and say it all and do it all and just trying to make it more of a natural process mm-hmm. has been very freeing for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something you said earlier, like God is calling your child. That's actually one of the four values of Hope Grow Faith is, yes, we yeah. are called to share our faith with our kids, but he, right. we can be confident that he's calling our child too, that he's right. doing the things.
And we right.
just need to kind of come alongside and be obedient with what we have. But he's doing the
right.
work of like
Thank
shaping
goodness.
Their hearts. I know. I can't shape a heart. I wish I could.
Yes, no.
Just no. listen already.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was great. If you have, did you have any other encouragement or anything else specifically that you wanted to share? I feel like this was very encouraging, but.
Well, good. I hope so.
Why did you say that?
I think if I would have to add anything, one of the things that God has taught me so much through my own loss of a child and continuing to parent my kids now and just in my faith in general is going off of what we keep talking about, but it's just surrender of like our children are God's children and he loves them so much more infinitely than we do. And we can trust him with our kids no matter what, like you said. And I love that that's one of your values. And surrender is hard. It's
yes,
hard. It
hard.
Really is. But when we can, you know, kind of shift our perspective to that and just kind of daily renew our surrender, I have found that even though it feels terrifying, when you walk through it and do it and you see that you can trust God and he is good, it's just so full of grace and goodness. And it's such a better place for me to parent from. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a much more restful place to parent from.
Yes,
than this
exactly.
Striving.
Exactly.
So, Kristen, you have a couple of books. Do you want to tell us a little bit about them? I think they're really cool,
and
I think some of the people in this group would really appreciate hearing about them. So tell us.
Yes, I am excited because this is the first interview I've done that I've remembered to bring them with me.
Woo-hoo!
Every time I'm interviewed, I'm like, oh, I left that in the basement. So the first one I have. This is called Life Worth Living, a Daily Growth Journal. And the little tagline is Come Alive to Your Life. And so this is for women. And this is a journal that starts like a workbook. And it kind of helps you reflect back on, sorry, you probably can't see. Is it like super reflecting
bad? Yeah, I can. There's
quite a bit in there. Okay, it's not too bad. So there's a few pages that talk about just like affirmations of who you are in Christ and your identity. Mm-hmm. Like you are a mom, but you are also so much more than that too. And, just going back to different ways that you can take care of yourself as a mom. And I know self-care can get a bad rap of feeling selfish. And, I just had to go through a season where I learned it wasn't necessarily about selfishness. I had just not been loving myself as God had loved me. And so, this kind of took me back to the place of seeing myself as loved by God, but also centering me on his truths. And there is a daily template, which you can kind of see.
Yep.
And it's good for whatever season you're in, whether it's a really devastating season of loss or grief, or just maybe life falling apart, or if you're just kind of struggling through motherhood or something else, it gives you space to kind of process what is hard so that you can name it and get it out there.
Hmm.
but not get stuck there. And so then there's also space for you to focus on how can I grow in this area? How can I find overcoming in Christ in this area? Like, what actionable steps in my faith can I take? And it's like some ideas to brainstorm, things that you can do. Sometimes, like, it's just a nap. Like, the power of a nap is transformative. It really is. And then it also ends with this section of like, okay, like, this is what's hard. This is what I can do about it. And then what is good? Because there is so much good in God. There is so much good in my life. How can I practice gratitude? And so it's rooting that scripture of hold on to what is good. I think it's in 2 Thessalonians. And so it's just this daily practice of showing up with God and showing up with yourself and working through things that you might be struggling with or might be stuck in. And like I said, when you're doing life with your kids, they pick up on it. So this is a journal that I have used, I don't even know how long now. Like, I'm still using it. I'm having my own copies of my journal. I'm on my second new copy.
That means it's good stuff then, right?
It is. And my kids are like, Mommy, what are you doing? Like, and I tell them about it and like, we want a journal too. And it became this whole conversation. So I am releasing this journal, which is Living Life Well, a daily growth journal for kids. And so I consider this the kids version. And it too, let's see if I can get to some pages. It starts with what I call, I had a little girl who was coloring in it.
So pretty.
But it is black and white, but it has some coloring style pages. But it talks about like, what does God promise? How does God want me to live? Who does God say that I am? How can I handle, hard things and big emotions? What are, just ways that kids can get processing their thoughts and feelings and connecting them with God? And then they have their own daily journal pages here, which again, kind of go through the same flow. It's a little bit different, but it's asking kids to think about what was hard for them that day. How did they handle it? Did it help? If not, what can I try? What was good about today? And then it helps guide them into how they can pray through those things with God.
Oh, and love it.
I just have to add a little note that it is not a journal about striving or performance. It is just really, it is for any kid, but it is for a kid too, who's going through a hard time or a change, like a move or a loss or something else, or they're just experiencing anxiety in school or bullying. And you're just wanting to show them that they can live well with Jesus. Like, when they are centered and growing their roots in Him, it's not about performance and perfection. It's that they can live well when everything might be feeling unwell in their world. And we struggle with this as adults. Yes. And kids struggle with it too. Like, they do encounter some hard things, and they are just learning all of this. And so my hope for that journal is that parents will be able to use that as a tool to kind of get their kids thinking and processing about that. And if nothing else, I think it is a great conversation starter between parents and kids, no matter how old they are.
Absolutely. I mean, the things that you were saying you could do in the evening, that could be a great, just even if you're not writing things down with younger kids,
exactly,
you could use those questions and that thought pattern to help kind of decompress things with your kids or process through things with your kids. That's awesome.
Right.
I have mine ordered, so it's not coming.
Thank you.
For another week, but I'm excited to get it. So yeah, that'll be exciting. So thank you. So I'm going to leave some links. So if you guys want, if you fallen in love with Kristen here and you want to follow her, I'm going to leave her Instagram and Facebook links and anywhere else. That'd be your website.
Yep.
And then links to your books if you're interested in that. So, which I am. So it's great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time. We really appreciated having you. Drop some great little golden nuggets in there. I'm going to have to go back and listen again. This is why I love editing these videos. And I'm like, oh, I get to hear it again.
I love that. That's so good. So good.
All right, see you guys. I'm going to turn off the live now. Bye.